द एज ऑफ सिवलरी, सी एच आई वी ए एल आर वाई। नेवर द लेस द डॉन ऑफ द मॉडर्न एरा वॉज एट फार अवे। कैम्पटन रिकेट ऑब्जर्व चौसर्स इंग्लैंड इज स्टिल करेक्टरिस्टिकली मिडिवल एंड नाउ एवर इज द कंजर्वेटिव फीलिंग मोर स्ट्रांगली मार्क दैन इन द परसिस्टेंट ऑफ सिवलरी। दिस स्ट्रेंज amalgam of love, war and religion, so far from exhibiting and signs of the decay, reached perhaps its fullest development at this time. More than two centuries were the elapsed before it was finally killed by the satirical pens of Cervantes. The knights in nature since fairy tales is typically of his kind. Even the tale of narrator concerned the adventure of two true knights, Arcturus and Palamon. The Black Death, Peasant Revolt and the Labour Unrest. In the age of Chaucer, most people were victims of poverty, squalor and pestilence. Even well-educated novel-eyed sov with the suspicion and learned physician often forbade bathing as harmful for health. That is why England was often visited by epidemics, especially plagues. The severest attack of this dread epidemic came in 1348. It was called the Black Death because black, knotty boils appeared on the bodies and hopeless victim. It is estimated that about 1 million human beings were swept away by the epidemic. That roughly makes one third of the total population of England at the time. One immediate consequence of this pestilence was the acute shortage of working hand. The socio-economic system of England led hopelessly paralyzed labourer and valance who happened to survive. Started demanding much higher wages, but neither their employers nor the king nor parliament was ready to meet these demands. A number of severe regulations were passed asking workers to work at the old rate of payment. This occasioned a great deal of resentment, which culminated in the Peasants' Revolt in 1381. During the reign of Richard II, the peasant groaning under the weight of justice and undue official servility were led to London by the Kentish versus John Bull, be preached by dignity of labor and asked the novel when Adam Delves and Eve Span, who was then the gentleman. The king overwhelmed by the mass of peasantry armed with such weapons as hast, spears and pitchforks, promised reform but later self. His promise, the peasant revolt, is, according to Compton Rickett, a dim foreshadowing of those industrial troubles that lay in the distant future. Chaucer in his Nun Price and Tell refers in the following lines to Jack Straw, who with Wat Tyler raised the banner of revolt. Courteous he Jack Straw and his men, nay made never shout half so shrill, when that they walled in any faming kill, as thilk day was mad upon the fox. R.K. wrote the sum of the significance of this uprising, this revolt suppressed by the courage and good judgment of the boy King Richard II, though barren of any direct and immediate result, exerted a lasting influence on the temper of the lower classes, fostering in them a spirit of independence which made them no longer an negligible quantity in the life of the nation. This was another line of progress toward modernism. The Church. In the age of Chaucer, the church became a hotbed of profligacy, corruption and materialism. The overlord of the church, namely the Pope of Rome himself, had ambitions and aptitudes other than spiritual. W.H. Hudson maintains in this connection, noted comma, of spiritual zeal and energy, very little was now left in the country. The greater prelates heaped up wealth and lived in the godless and worldly way. The rank and the file of the clergy were ignorant and careless. The mendicant friars were notorious, N-O-T-O-R-I-O-U-S, for their greed and profligacy. P-R-O-F-L-I-G-A-C-I. In an order to come up close, John Chauver, a contemporary of Chaucer, whom he calls Moral Gower, G-O-W-E-R, in bracket, on account of his deductive tendency, not to come close, thus pictures and the condition of the church in his prologue to Confessio Amantis. Lo, thus abroad is Christus flowed, where of the fog without guide, the word is on every side, in lack of him that been unware, is shepherds which her bids beware upon the word in other half. Another contemporary has to say this about the priest, noted comma, our prides are now become blind, dark and beclouded. There is neither seven crown in their head, nor domesty in their words, nor temperance in their food, nor even chastity in their deeds, noted comma, closed. If this was the condition of the ecclesiasts, A-C-C-L-E-S-I-A-S-T-S, we can easily imagine that of the laity, L-A-I-T-Y. Well does Chaucer says in the prologue of the St. Mary Tales, note comma, if gold rust, what shall iron do? Note comma closed. Chaucer himself was indifferent to any reform, but his character sketch of the ecclesiastical figure in the Saintsbury Tales leaves no uncertainty regarding the corruption which had crept into the ecclesiastic rank and file. The round belied Epicurean, E-P-I-C-U-R-E-A-N, monk, the Mary and the Devil may care freer, F-R-I-A-R, and the unscrupulous Pradonor are fairly topical of this age. This widespread and the deep-rooted corruption has already begun to provoke attention of someone reformist. The most prominent of the whom was John Wycliffe, 1322-84. Who has been called the morning star of the Reformation. He started what is called the Low Lords movement. His aim was to eradicate the evil and the corruption which had become a part of parcel of the church. He sends his poor priests to all parts of the country for spreading his message of simplicity, purity and austerity. His self-appointed task was take Christianity back to its original purity and spirituality. He exhorted people not to have anything to do with the corrupt ministers of the Pope and to have faith only in the word of the God inscribed in the Bible. To make the teaching of the Bible accessible to the common masses, he, with the help of some of his disciples, translated of the Bible from Latin into the native tongue. He also wrote a number of tracts embodying his teaching. His translation of the Bible was, in the words of W.H. Hudson, the first translation of the scripture into any modern vernacular tongue. That Chaucer was sympathetic to the Low Lords movement is evident from the element of idealization which characterized with his portrait of the poor person. Poor person. In the prologue of the Centenary Tales, the movement launched by Wycliffe, W-Y-C-L-I-F, and his followers and the age of Chaucer was an adumbration of the Reformation, which was to come in the 16th century to win England from the appeal from the papal influence. Next topic, literary and intellectual tendencies. Latin and French were our dominant language in 14th century England. However, the latter half of the century, English came to its own thanks to sterling work done by Chaucer and some other like Langlands, Jowar and Wycliffe, who wrote in English and wrote well. The English language itself was in a fluid state of being and was divided into a number of dialects. The universities of Cambridge and Oxford employed Latin as the medium of instruction. Latin was also the language of the fashionable, who cultivated it as a social necessity. We recall here Chaucer's summoner, S-U-W-M-O-N-E-R, who world spake no word but Latin. After having drunk well, the contribution of Chaucer toward the standardization and popularization of the English language cannot be overestimated. As regards his contribution to English poetry, he has well been characterized as the father of English poetry. No doubt there were other poets contemporaneous with him, Langland, Jowar and a few more, but Chaucer is as head and shoulders among them as Shakespeare is among the Elizabethan dramatists. He stands like a majestic oak in a shrubbery. The English prose too was coming. The English prose too was coming to itself. Mandeville's travelogues and Wycliffe's reformative pamphlets give one a feeling that the English prose was on its way to standardization and popular acclamation. As E. Albert puts it, earlier specimens have been experimental or purely imitative. Now, in the work of Mandeville and Mallory, we have prose that is both original and individual. The English prose is now ripe for a prose style. In another way, too, the age of Chaucer stands between the medieval and the modern life. There was in this age some sort of a minor renaissance. The dawn of real renaissance in England was at about 2 centuries ahead. At in the age of Chaucer, there are signs of growing influence of ancient and native literature. Chaucer on poetry was influenced by Italian writer Boccaccio, B-O-C-C-I-O, 1313-75, and to a lesser extent Petrarch, 1304-74. The frameworks of Boccaccio's Decameron, D-E-C-A-M-E-R-O-N, and Chaucer's Canterbury Tales are almost similar. However, it is somewhat doubtful if Chaucer had read the Italian writer. It was through the work of the two above named Italian writer that humanism made its way into English intellectual culture. Well, does Captain Rickett observe, Chaucer's world is medieval, but beneath his medievalism and leaven of the Renaissance is already at work.